anyway.
No,
but let me say this about Luka. Why I don't disgust, I don't despise him as much as I've done as I do Harden, is because Luka will go down on the block.
I agree.
And he'll play some bully ball. And he'll go to the rack, and he'll try to finish, and he's so strong.
I think Luka's going to be better than Harden all time.
Yeah,
Wouldn't you agree?
The way he passes, the way that he's got eyes in the back of his head, his court vision, the guy's a stud.
He's ridiculous.
I don't want, like, the crying, I get it. It turns people off.
But he's so good at it.
But he's a great, great player, and he's more diverse than James Harden was when he was with the Houston Rockets. Let's go to Joel in San Jose. Joel, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Morning, fellas. Thank you so much for taking my call.
No problem.
Bonte, I want to get your take on the fact that I want to hear you tell the fans, what makes this team so special in a unique way with their mental toughness? They've been through the ringer this year with the Jordan Poole thing, with the Steph injuries, with Wiggins, with Bob Myers being uncertain. And the second they get into a game, they can't win on the road. And the second they get into a game where they have to win it, it is a must-win game. It clicks, and they do what they got to do. How do they do that? What makes them so tough? What makes them so special?
Well, it's a great question, Joel. It's an excellent question, and I think you hit on it right at the top of your call. It's the experience that they've had. The experience they've had since 2013 together. You know, going through a coaching change from Mark Jackson to a coaching change from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr. All right, you lose in the first round to the Clippers. You bounce back. You win an NBA championship. You're down 2-1 in the series to Memphis. You're down 2-1 in the series to Cleveland. You make lineup changes. You figure out how to play small ball. You move on from Harrison Barnes. You bring in KD. KD's asked all type of questions his third year about leaving the team. And you have to deal with that all season long, yet you still make a finals run. You also had to DeMarcus Cousins elevate to that aspect of the season, right? He comes back. He's starting. He's not starting. He gets hurt. He's back in a lineup. They've been through everything, so I think, Joel, you touched on it. The mental toughness has been developed through all the experiences. And in these big games that they've won, Memphis on Christmas, Boston earlier this season, beating Milwaukee on a Saturday night, coming back from an 8-point deficit in the last 2 minutes of the basketball game. Last night, beating the Dallas Mavericks in a game you had to have because now you had the season tiebreaker. You're up 2-1 on the Dallas Mavericks. All that mental toughness comes from experience. All those war wounds that they've developed over the years. So that's why in a game like last night, Draymond's been there before. Stephen Curry's been there before. Klay Thompson's been there before. Jordan Poole got a sip of the coffee last year in the postseason.
He's had a lot of big games.
But that was his first postseason. And then even the playing experience of playing against the Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies and playing down the stretch. That experience helps you in situations like this. Agreed. And they understand how to win basketball games. You can never take that championship DNA from somebody.
No.
That stuff is real.
And even someone like Dante DiVincenzo has obviously been there, done that before.
Villanova, Milwaukee, that matters.
A winner everywhere, really. I mean, if we're being honest with you. And then JaMychal Green, I mean, you played against him last year in the playoffs. So I actually think quietly, JaMychal Green has been an impact player in his minutes over the last, month? What do you think?
I'm trying to tell you that.
No, he's playing a lot better.
He's ripping, I told you.
Because he wasn't playing.
He's playing better. He understands his role now.
Yes.
And Steve Kerr understands how to utilize him. Defensively, he could get overpowered that time.
Yeah.
That's fine. But he can dunk on somebody's head.
Yes.
He can hit the three.
Yeah.
And he's active. So it's just like
Otto Porter. It fits better.
Look, it's like Bielitsa. There's some games you're going to play Bielitsa 15 minutes. Some games you're going to play Bielitsa 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Same thing with JaMychal Green. Some games you're going to go 6 minutes. Some games you're going to go to 12.
I totally agree. But no, he just looks a lot better, and he looks way more comfortable. We were looking at Dante DiVincenzo. Just a stop for a second. Sam, he's on pace for the most minutes of his career we were looking at earlier.
DiVincenzo, I think he played, around 1,800 minutes a few years ago. He's about just under 1,700
now. Okay, he's been brilliant for this team. If there's one area that I'm just thinking about, I'm not saying he's got to rest the game, but boy, if they can lock in one of these top six spots, he's the guy. Him and Looney, they could use like multiple days off. They really need those days off.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, your favorite 95.7 The Game, for the best and most up-to-date sports covers. Don't forget that you can also watch us every single day on our YouTube and Twitch streams, and just log on and search 95.7 The Game. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel while you are there. Look, the playoffs, you're going to get 6 days off if you do clinch a top six seed before the first round.
They need that.
They need that, no doubt. Looney looked fresh yesterday.
He looked better.
No more back-to-backs this year.
Yeah.
No more back-to-backs. Looney grabbed you 12-12, and he looked active yesterday.
Yeah.
Looney's finishing at the basket. I like where Looney's at. DiVincenzo played 24 minutes last night. And I thought he looked fresh. He had a rough road trip, especially from the three-point line.
Yeah.
4-10 last night. All 10 attempts come up from the three-point line. He scores 14 points. Play solid defense. I think they'll be fine. No more back-to-backs. Now you're coming home for four. Big homestand. Huge homestand. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be okay. And look, you give them a day off here, you got nobody to play. Who are you going to play? You need Gary Payton II back.
I mean,
you hope to get Andrew Wiggins back. With GP2, Grateful Dead.
Yeah, my dad was so happy that he had the Grateful Dead.
Did he have gold teeth in last night?
I don't know about that, but he had the Grateful Dead shirt on. My dad was like, I got to get that shirt. I really got to get that shirt. And my dad loves Gary Payton Jr. Or the second, excuse me. The second.
Why do you always say that?
What?
Gary Payton Jr.
Well, because so in my easy. Family, my dad is Joe Shasky Jr. and I'm Joe Shasky the third. So I instantly revert back to Jr.
Gotcha.
I always do that, and that's my bad. I know.
No,
GP2, like, I know. I know. I screw that up every time.
I can't find the Tums.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, that's the last segment.
They had an 8-point lead. They had an 8-point lead, and it evaporated in like 5 seconds. And my dad was losing his mind.
That's basketball.
I know.
I can't find the
time. He wanted to win that game. He can't stand watching.
No, that was a big game. Look, that last segment was sponsored by Golden State Silver to Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. My guy, SF Bay drummer, bringing up Snowfall, man. I watched it before I went to bed.
Please don't. It's on my docket for today.
I'm not going to spoil anything. It's going to be a sad day when that show ends.
Yeah. It's been a great final season.
This show is up there. I'm telling you, it's up there with The Wire. It's up there with The Sopranos. It's up there with Breaking Bad. This show's been excellent. Like, there's been, in the entire series, I believe there's like two episodes where I'm like, that wasn't the baddest episode. Two! That's it! Season's been great. With like the first three seasons, every episode was excellent. It just got better and better and better. I'm gonna miss Snowfall, man. It was always good to watch Snowfall after a win. It felt so good. Dub Nation, how good did that win feel last night? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Anthony Slater will join us.
Not the Slater for the Giants who's going to start on the IL.
No, not Austin Slater. Anthony Slater, who now covers the Sacramento Kings.
Oh.
But on the side, he covers the Golden State Warriors.
Mm.
The Sacramento Kings, by the way, D'Lo KC, not happy with me.
Why is that?
So I'm just taking shots at the beam. Told you, I walked to my car Saturday night. There was a white piece of yellow piece of paper. No, they just put light the beam. Light the beam. It's like, oh, that's what we're doing now?
Wow.
You know what, Kings? We may see you very, very soon.
Oh, that'd be so great. That playoff series would be wild.
That would be wild.
We would have to have people declare their allegiances beforehand. Because there's a couple people that want to play both sides.
Oh, really?
I'm seeing it already happen.
Really?
You know who you are.
Name names.
No, they know who they are. Just people.
Same names.
Just people.
I was just going to say that. Why are you going to tease me like that?
Well, like my sister in particular, you know, she's up in Roseville, and I'm like.
Oh, so she goes back and forth?
She's always been a Warrior fan. She's like, but they're a lot of fun. And I'm like.
You call them Humpty Dumpties because they sit on the fence.
Pick a side.
Ooh. You got to call them the Humpty Dumpties.
Anybody else we know on the fence?
Well, there's a guy in Madsen I'm seeing.
Kyle Madsen?
Very dialed in to the Kings.
Oh, really?
And I'll tell him. He knows that.
Oh, really?
We were texting big about WBC the other day. Oh, boy. So they get the 76ers on Friday, and there's nobody who loves Philly more than you.
I do love Philly. I do. There's like another a lot of friends from Philly. A lot of friends who are now become family members.
They've won two in a row.
Right.
If they can win that Philly game, I mean, it feels like it's going to be a very difficult game.
Well, Embiid may not play. He didn't play in the second half yesterday. Right calf strain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does that change things?
Oh, it changes a lot. You think the Warriors were saying, damn it, Giannis didn't play on that Saturday night. No, we're all saying, oh, Giannis ain't playing?
Thank God.
No, he got a shot.
Thank God.
Embiid doesn't, because he's the MVP for me right now.
Embiid?
Yes.
I think so.
Well, if he doesn't start playing, though, that changes things. So he might have more incentive to want, because that means a lot to him, right? This MVP chase, I think it really does mean a lot to him.
He's got a game against Luka. I mean, not Luka, Nikola Jokic, November 27th, or March 27th in Denver. And the last time he played Jokic, he dropped 47-18. So he wants that Jokic game.
Can we, just for the Jokic thing, for just saying, he's been brilliant, he's outstanding, he's amazing. It is surprising to me, like when I look up and I see certain players in the league only have X amount of MVPs, like say what you want about LeBron. You could make the argument he could have been the MVP for like a decade straight.
Shaq only has one MVP.
I think Kobe only has
one. He only has one MVP.
Right? Like
Steve Nash, too.
Yeah.
Well, I know. And Derrick Rose, same amount.
You know what?
And Derrick Rose was awesome.
Kobe did get his MVP when Chris Paul deserved it. I'll say that now. Sorry. Chris Paul did deserve an MVP.
But I don't think this is fair. I would not vote this way. But I think if we look up and Jokic has three in a row, we're going to be like, really? Three in a row?
All right, let's keep it moving here. Before we get to break, it's time for our delivery of the game.
I love this music. The delivery of the game is brought to you by my friends. You know who they are. Kirby, your driveway mechanic. Just like, you know, a food delivery service app, they have an app now on your phone. And instead of getting food delivered via the app, Kirby will deliver you a mechanic. Check out Kirby at CURBEE.com. And today's delivery comes courtesy of Jonathan Kuminga, who engaged in a little thievery before delivering the hammer.
Steal by Kuminga. Up front on the handoff. Dribble. And Doncic just lets him go. And he hammers it down with a right hand.
Kuminga was awesome yesterday. Bonte, that is your delivery of the game brought to you by Kirby, your driveway mechanic. You can do washes, brakes, you name it. We'll do a free inspection. Check it out at Kirby, Kirby.com.
All right, what's coming up on the game? Sponsored by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. How about Jonathan Kuminga? How about the Warriors winning a road game? Draymond Green, how big was that win last night? We want to hear from Dub Nation here on the Morning Rose. 888-957-9570. Your call's coming up before we get to Anthony Slater at 8 o'clock.
This is Andre Iguodala, and you are listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and The Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
This is the type of music the Lakers play after their wins.
I hope so. This is a banger. Wiz Khalifa. Old Wiz.
Oh, Wiz was good. Road trip music. Was it Orange Kush? That was his name of his album.
No, but did you see the commercial that I saw over the weekend?
No. I don't watch commercials.
Snoop Dogg doing a Skechers commercial?
Oh, that's old.
I'd never seen it.
That's old. He put it on his Instagram.
I don't watch commercials. And then he's like, that's old. On his that's Instagram. Pretty funny.
No, it's on his Instagram. I don't watch commercials on the television, but Instagram pops up.
I mean, we all Snoop. Watch commercials. Like,
no, I changed the channel.
Yeah,
I changed
the channel. Social.
Yeah. I changed the channel.
I did not know that he was with Skechers, and I was shocked.
Honest to God, like Super Bowl commercials in general, I don't like them. I don't. I need live action.
No, I need live action. Except here at Odyssey, we love them.
No, we love.
No one loves commercials on TV.
Yeah, that's what I've said. On TV, I can't stand them, so I change them. Snowfall was great because you record it and you skip through all the commercials.
I agree, but I had not seen the Skechers Snoop Dogg commercial, and I was like, man, if I would have told Snoop Dogg in 1999, for example, when he joined Master P's No Limit, he was going to be signing with Skechers.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would have thought that.
Cushion Orange Juice, the album, Wiz Khalifa.
Oh.
That was great music.
Orange juice and a blunt for breakfast?
On the rooftops. Remember the rooftop song? Couldn't get in the party, now we on the rooftops, rooftops. That one hit me.
The one with Two Shorts, my favorite Wiz Khalifa song.
Which one was that?
On My Level, I think is the name of it.
He's got some
bangs. On My Level.
Oh, Wiz was freaking good. On My Level. What is Wiz Khalifa doing now, Spadoni?
I'd be growing weed.
I mean, other than that, smoking weed and growing weed. I mean, he's always done that.
He's part of Cookies with Burner. Him and Burner have a bunch of songs. Bunch of songs.
He's just living his best life.
I know. Well,
is he making new albums? I don't even know. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
I know our text line. They would know the song.
Yeah.
Man. Bonte being a family man, it's a good idea to avoid the commercials. Morale. What does that mean? Damn, Wiz. Wiz was good. I might have to play some Wiz coming out the studio today. 888-957-9570. Biggest takeaway from last night's win. Biggest takeaway. We'll go around the room here. Shasky, start with you. What's your biggest takeaway from last night's win?
Well, obviously, it was a huge win for standings and vibe and all that. Just a great playoff-like atmosphere in Dallas. Like, quite honestly, if you told me the Warriors played a series against the Mavericks again, sign me up. It's fun.
Like the Western Conference Finals?
I'll take, you know, whatever. Yes, I will take that. Yes, B. I will absolutely take that. Wasn't that fun? That fourth quarter felt fun. And then seeing Draymond on the ground, where he's like, on the and one. Like, I don't know about you, but I jumped up and fist pumping. And I thought it was all the feels of the old school Warriors.
So that's your big takeaway. Love, man. What you got? Big takeaway from last night's win.
Yeah, no, I'm going to focus on Draymond, too, because I just love the way he balled out last night. He just looks so dialed in on defense. I mean, he was playing in foul trouble most of the night, so you weren't able to see him as much as maybe we would have liked. He only got, like, what, I think 25 minutes in, but four blocks, and he was just a force on the defensive end. And that's the kind of performance where, Draymond, if you could keep doing that just, like, every single night, I feel incredibly good about how far this team can go in the playoffs.
All right, Spadoni, big takeaway from the Warriors' win last night over the Mavericks. So set the straight road win.
Not settling for bad shots. My God, on the road every single time this year. It's like, what are you doing with these like logo threes, just stupid, forcing things? They let the offense get like they didn't play boneheaded offense. That was just, it's all season it's been like that. So very refreshing to see that.
Very good balance for the Golden State Warriors last night. 12 of 39 from the three-point line. But look at that. 51 shots from inside the arc. Inside the arc. They were 38 of 51 inside the arc. So they're going to the paint. In the first half, they were 19 of 13 for twos. It's a damn good percentage. It's 80%. I'm not a math major. That's pretty damn good. Biggest takeaway for me, it's JK.
Yeah, I was going to let you take Kuminga.
I mean, I can't get enough of the guy. I've wanted this guy to play 30 minutes all season long. Just let him play through the mistakes. Let him play. But now we have 8 games left, and now he's playing. And you better believe that he's going to play 20, the 25, the 30 minutes like he did last night. He can defend you. He pick you up full court. He's learning where to be offensively. He's growing into his own, and he's only 20 years old. This kid is a future star in the league. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Go cry to your mama about the rebounding, all right? He's out there defending players of Luka's caliber, Kawhi's caliber, on the perimeter, face guarding these dudes, contesting shots, making life difficult for them. This guy's playing well. So the numbers, we all want him to grab more rebounds. But damn it, I'll take 9 of 11. I'll take 63% from the floor in his last six games, I should say. I'll take the 45.5% from the three-point line. Now it's up to 50 after the last six games. Kuminga's playing well. So all the people complaining about where he is, no. Complain about the veterans getting stops at times. Well, complain about the veterans turning the ball over like they did in the first quarter. Kuminga's coming into his own, and that's my biggest takeaway.
Is a byproduct of Wiggins being out the opportunity for Kuminga to
absolutely
have his role expanded?
Absolutely. And Andre
Iguodala. I didn't want to say blessing in disguise because I don't think that that's the right way to phrase it. I meant like a byproduct. Like Wiggins is out, so who could take advantage of that and get their minutes increased? I would say Kuminga feels like that guy because I don't know, B, if Wiggins is there, I don't know if Kerr allows him to develop over these last couple weeks.
Right, if Andre Iguodala's there, if Gary Payton II's there, if Andrew Wiggins is there, maybe he's only playing 15 minutes a game, but we don't see a game like that last night. But a game like last night helps a guy like Kuminga grow. So now in the playoffs, he knows, I can pick up Luka 94 feet. I have fresh legs. I can pick up Kevin Durant 94 feet if I need to. I can pick up Kawhi Leonard, who's going to be without PG, Paul George for the next 2 to 3 weeks. I can pick these dudes up full court and just make it tough on them. You're not going to stop these guys. These dudes are all-time scorers, the best skill set in the world, the best athletes in the world. These guys are going to get their money. Luka still is going to end up with 30, but you got to make him work for it. And he made Luka shoot 27 times yesterday, and he made him work for it.
You know, I was talking with Joe Spadoni in the pregame show this morning, and he thinks that the Warriors could jump all the way to the 4 seed.
I'm good with 6.
Why?
Let me play Sacramento or Memphis first round.
See, he's predicting, and this is Joe's. Actually, I will let Joe do the prediction here because the way that he said it, I hadn't even considered it because I don't want to get too ahead and look at the schedule and all this and there. But he's saying, hey, you know what, Joe, you say.
You just look at the teams ahead of him. It's the Suns, and then it's the Clippers right there. Well, Clippers are without Paul George the rest of the regular season. They're clinging to a half-game lead. And then you got the Suns, who Ayton's hurt right now. Obviously, KD, maybe he comes back for the playoffs. Chris Paul's a shell of himself. Devin Booker, God bless him, he's trying his best. But you just look at those right there. The Warriors have a 4-game homestand. They're a different team on the road. If they go 3-1 here or 4-0, I know the Philly ones, that's the big one tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But if they can go 3-1 or 4-0, I don't think it's that crazy. If you just look at the Clippers and Suns and the player and the games that they have remaining, 4 seed, Bonte, you wouldn't want that?
Nah, I probably wouldn't want that.
No home court though. But there's so much. Sorry, not to cut you off. There's so much different at home. I know.
I don't worry about the road stuff for the playoffs.
You think it just wipes away?
I think they're gonna go still one on the road in the playoffs. It'll be different. They'll be up for it. They'll still want to come back home to Chase Center and take care of business. Now, the margin of error, they may lose a couple at home this year in the playoffs. It just may happen. They did with Kevin Durant. They did before Kevin Durant.
Game one of the finals last year.
I mean, that was the only loss they had last season.
I know, but
11-1.
They were up the whole game until the fourth.
But look, I'm looking at the Clippers schedule now. Okay, let's say they're in the five spot. Paul George injury.
It's hard to look at them the same, so but you never know.
They're at home for the next three games.
Okay.
Oklahoma City, New Orleans, and again, Zion's going to get reevaluated in 2 weeks, so he's going to be out that game. Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Chicago. They have a back-to-back in Memphis next week. Back-to-back in Memphis. It's going to be tough for the Clippers. Then they go to New Orleans, down to the Big Easy, the Smoothie King Center. Then they come back home, take on the L.A. Lakers, take on the Blazers, and then they finish the season in Phoenix. So they're going to drop here. They're going to drop.
Let Russ cook.
Let Russ cook.
Smoothie King Center. Every chance you can to get that name in. I love that you know every single arena.
I got
to
be honest, the Smoothie King sounds great right now.
It does sound delicious.
That's some ice cream from Salt and Straw.
What's that?
It's on California Fillmore. Sacramento and Fillmore. What's it called? Salt and Straw.
Okay.
Ice cream.
Is it like a high-end ice cream?
I don't know if it's
Tell high Bonte Hill sent you.
I had this... I swear to God, it was like cookie dough, caramel fudge, cookie dough with the waffle cone.
I love waffle cone.
I'm not a big sweets guy. I don't eat candy. Yeah. I don't like ice cream.
I love ice cream.
I mean, I like ice cream, but I don't just go out my way for it.
Yeah, I eat ice cream
maybe four times a year.
If my wife leaves it in the fridge or, excuse me, the freezer, I'm eating it. The whole thing.
We've got ice cream in the freezer for like over a year. It's probably not even
I'm a big drumstick guy. Oh, the peanuts on top and the caramel in the middle.
Oh, those are good.
100%.
Those are good.
100%.
Salt and straw, dude. They had, oh my Lord.
The Nestle ones.
All right, looking at the Suns' schedule, they're in Sacramento Friday night. Light the beam. Then they play Philadelphia at home. Then they go to Utah. They play Minnesota, Denver at home, at OKC, San Antonio, Denver, and then the LA teams at LA against the Lakers at Crypto.com Arena for the second time this late in the year. Then they host the Clippers.
Not going to be easy.
I'm liking
the Warriors' chances at that four seed, man.
The Warriors could snatch the four seed. Now, what if they had to play Phoenix as that four spot?
I'd rather have them at home, right? The home court, right off the bat? KD, hey, Bonte, KD coming to Chase Center for the first time. It's in the playoffs at Chase Center.
I wonder if he gets a standing ovation.
I don't, at the playoffs?
Salt and straw. The people chiming in on salt and straw, that is some snitching ass ice cream.
Yes, salt and straw and Burlingame. So they got one at Burlingame, then they had the one at Sacramento Fillmore. Pull up their menu. I'm telling you, this place is legit.
So if they get the four seed, I mean, that I just I have a hard time talking that about what seed they're going to get.
That would be remarkable.
If the dust settled on this season and you're like, hey, they had the four seed. After everything that they went through, I mean, wow. That would be like the Donner Party actually making it to the end.
So,
am I wrong?
No.
That got really dark for a second there.
Well, I
heard. You
know, Donner Pass is there for a reason.
I heard something else.
What?
I heard this.
What? No. Did I say it?
No, I just something else came through my head when you said that.
No.
Here it is.
This season has been like the Oregon Trail. Everyone's dying.
Salted malted chocolate chip cookie dough. Salted malted chocolate chip cookie dough. That's what I had. It was really, really good. They had a cinnamon snickerdoodle that I wanted to try. Didn't do that. Peanut butter brittle, caramel fudge.
Hi, I'm Bonte Hill, and when I'm at Salt and Straw, I order the snickerdoodle.
No, I ordered a salted malted chocolate chip cookie dough. That's the one. Sea salt with caramel ribbons. This place is good. It's called Classics West Coast.
And it's in Burlingame?
They have one in Burlingame. They have one in Sacramento. Burlingame Ave. I love Burlingame Avenue.
I went to La Corneta there just like a week ago. There's a Delfina right there.
We've got a Limon.
Yeah, there is a Limon right on the corner.
Burlingame Ave. It's where the boozy folks go.
Absolutely. The Apple Store.
Boozy Bonte. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Rum custard, raisin, shortbread, and bran butter. Peanut butter brownie, cereal puffs. I mean, this place is legit. Legit. You can't go there every single day. All right. You can't go there every single day, but salt and straw? I'm telling you, man, this ice cream's legit. They got West Coast. They got Florida. I mean, it is nationwide delivery. You pick it, dude. This place is legit. It's always packed always packed.
People crushing the prices, but I will pay more for premium stuff like that. Like, if it's legit, yeah, I'm paying more. Come on.
Newsflash, everyone. The price of everything has gone up exponentially.
It's expensive. I mean, everything's expensive. Think about our rent. Think about property tax.
It's unreal.
Think about mortgages. Think about gas. Things expensive.
I got to try this place out.
I'm splurging. All right, the hell with that. I'm not living the broke life anymore. I'm balling on the budget. I get all that. Uh-huh. I'm splurging. I'm going to make myself happy.
Good for you.
I can't take this money with me.
I'm with you on that.
So I'm going to spend all my money on Salt and Straw.
I like it.
Love me. You ever been to Salt and Straw?
I just trying to think about that. No, I don't think I ever have.
Well, you know what?
So it's now on the list of ice cream places I got to get to.
Let's tie Lutman. Let's go. Salt and Straw can seal the deal, baby. Could get you date number two. Date number three.
Last question on this before we get back to wars. Are you one of the kind that put both hands behind your back, look into the glass as you're looking at the different ice cream, go, may I try a sample of that?
No, but Anna always asks for samples. Kind of gets on my nerves.
Does it?
A little bit.
Can I try the chocolate? Yeah, it tastes like chocolate.
Can I get a sample of that?
Can I try the vanilla? Yeah. Can I try the strawberry?
No, yeah. I mean,
it all tastes the same, people.
Gets a sample all the time. It's just like, you know what it tastes like. We've been here before. Why do you need to taste it? To make sure that you know what you want? No, I look at the menu, and I go for the same things. I'm a creature of habit. I always go, when I go to Original Joe's, or if I go to, you know, Tony's Pizza, I get the same thing over and over and over again. I get what I like.
Yeah.
I know what I like, and I'm not going to waste my money on trying something new.
I feel that.
You know?
Yeah. If you like it.
So Salt and Straw, I like it. I like the sea salt with caramel ribbons, and sometimes you could go two scoops, you go one of each. I usually just go one.
Yeah, I usually go one flavor. I don't mix and match my flavors.
Yeah, I don't like to
mix. I'm usually a mint chocolate chip guy.
Yeah, salted, malted chocolate chip cookie dough.
All right, let me ask you
this. Radio Bonte at Church's Chicken. Crispy, crunchy chicken, that is. You ever been to Crispy?
No.
You ain't never been to Crispy, crunchy chicken?
No.
South Van Ness at 18th at the gas station?
Yeah, connected to the gas stations, yeah.
The
Mac is pretty good there. I like the Mac. It's super bad for you. It has to be like 5,000 calories, but it's delicious.
The Mac is terrible.
No.
It's not liquidy.
No, not mine's not. Where are you getting your Crispy Crunchy Chicken?
I went down to the Wharf. They had one down here.
No, you can't go to the Wharf.
We had a staff meeting.
That one must have cost $40.
No, you got to go to International, like in Oakland. They got the spot.
Or you go to South Van Ness at 18th and the biscuits.
Is yesterday the kind of game that was, they can flip the Switch game? I'm asking.
It is.
Because the vibe felt different in that fourth quarter.
The vibe did feel different. But they've had these games all year.
What, one step forward, two steps back?
Exactly.
Or one and one, and you're just stuck in neutral?
But again, this is why I have a glimmer of hope with this basketball team. Because we saw them flip the switch last year during the last six games.
Mm.
Lost a tight one to Phoenix, came back against Utah, went 5-0 down the stretch. Klay Thompson got hot. And they rolled into the playoffs with all types of momentum. We didn't know what they were going to look like. Stephen Curry, first game back, was the playoff series against Denver Nuggets.
Off the bench.
In game one, off the bench. All right, Jordan Poole's on a heater. But we didn't know what he was going to look like in his first ever postseason. Well, first couple games, he lit it up. Mr. Money Time. Klay Thompson was balling. Same averages in the regular season and playoffs when it comes to three-point percent and field goal percentage. So, you know this team. And some people go crazy and they say it's cringy, but championship DNA matters to me. And they know, okay, the finish line is near. Nobody's going to worry about the regular season once you get into the playoffs, especially if you have a deep run.
Mm-hmm.
We'll laugh at the regular season and say, man, they hosed us. They teased us all season long. But if they could put something together over the next eight games and they go something like 6-2, think about how we're going to be feeling going into the playoffs. We're going to be back on that hype saying it's going to be tough to beat this team four times in seven games. Especially if they get GP2 back and maybe Andrew Wiggins. Now, again, on this show, we're assuming that Andrew Wiggins isn't coming back. That's just how I'm going to play it. That's how I'm going to play it. Missed 17 straight games. He's not here. If he comes back, damn, that's a great jolt. It's a great boost for this team. Hopefully he's okay. Again, our prayers, thoughts, wishes go out to him and his family. But if they do go 6-2 over the last eight games, now this flip the switch question, I'm saying, they did flip the switch. But It's been a rocky year, Shasky. I really don't know what this team.
It feels like after every loss, especially the road ones, like this team can't beat anyone no matter what. And then after a lot of these wins, it's like, wow, like the Bucks game the other night. Wow, Steph Curry pulled that out of his, rabbit out of the hat, yeah. and they find a way to win. I don't care if Giannis isn't out there. Like, that was an unbelievable win. Yep. You're like, they can do anything. It's such a one step forward, one step back team. But this one felt different just because of the way it went down against a common opponent who you faced last year, right, against a team that's also fighting for one of your spots right mm-hmm. now. I know they're without Kyrie, and that does matter right. in the equation, but the Warriors are also down Wiggins right now, and they might be out of the rest. Yeah, and GP2, and they might be out, you know, the whole year with that. But it just it felt different. I don't know. The cohesion, yeah. It finally felt like they turned a corner in terms of team chemistry. And I think that's my biggest takeaway watching that game yesterday, seeing old Draymond on the ground celebrating. Like, that image in my head is just like cemented. And then seeing Steph Curry have the kind yep. of floor game where he got everyone involved and pick and choose his spots. I don't know. I'm really encouraged by that win. I'm not going to say, oh, they're championship. But like, those are the kind of wins that make me believe in this team.
No, Kuminga's focus was very encouraging. Absolutely. The focus he had, paying attention to detail. I thought Jordan Poole was focused. I thought he was a little bit better on defense yesterday. But the no turnovers from JP. He wasn't, like, at times he got into his bag where he wants to go hot sauce and he wants to go through the legs and start throwing up crazy things that we just saw on the screen. Doesn't get a foul call. And he's slow to get back on defense as he's jogging and lollygagging. And the Mavericks come back and hit a three. That can't happen for Jordan Poole, which yeah. is why he didn't close the game at times yeah. last night. He wasn't in that closing lineup. But Jordan Poole played a controlled basketball game. So if they focus, you get the youngsters focusing like that, because I know what I'm getting from Steph. I know what I'm getting from Draymond Green. I know what I'm getting mm-hmm. from Looney. For the most part, I know what I'm getting from Klay Thompson. Hell, the four seed is right there. However, I'll caution you to say they're two games behind the Phoenix Suns for the fourth spot. So, yeah. in the loss column. And that's better. The Suns have 34 losses. Yes. Warriors have 36. So, it's all about the loss column from here on out.
Well, I keep coming back to the same thing. Form. For this team, right? But obviously avoiding that play-in scenario, meaning seven or lower. I feel really encouraged with right. where they're at. And the defensive intensity, to me, is the number one thing. Seeing them locked down defensively. And then, you know, B, you got to feel like Klay Thompson's going to figure it out on the road here. I know the last couple of weeks on the road haven't been the greatest. He had that good game against Houston. You yeah. got to think that at some point, an explosion, a week or 2 weeks of offensive output from Klay has just got to be around the corner.
He'll be okay.
I think
He'll
so, too.
Here's the deal that I'm looking at, though. Okay. You know who your five is. Steph, Looney, Klay, Dre. We'll see about Wiggins. If Wiggins comes back, now your starting five is solidified.
But if he doesn't, what would you like to roll with? Is it matchup dependent?
Matchup dependent.
Okay.
It's matchup dependent.
Because I don't think it should be.
I know we're operating as if Wiggins is not here, but let's go back. Let's go back hypothetically and say if he does come back. If he does come back.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, your starting five looks the same as last year when you won the championship.
Okay.
Looney, Dre, Wiggins, Klay, Steph. All of a sudden, your bench with DiVincenzo,
mm-hmm.
Kuminga, Jamichael Green,
mm-hmm.
not to mention Jordan Poole and Gary Payton II. All of a sudden, you're 10 deep again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's depth. And all of a sudden, there's guys where I'm saying, oh, Kuminga, get in there. You could flip the game. And then, in case of an emergency, I could play Anthony Lamb. And Devin, I know.
I actually thought Moody gave him some decent minutes yesterday.
And I was just getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just getting there.
I didn't mean to run you off.
He only played 6 minutes and 53 seconds.
But a couple smart plays and some hustle plays. And it feels like he attacked the rim.
Exactly.
Offensively. Like, I think that you've seen a better version of, I mean, God, the bar was so low for so long.
Yep.
But don't you think they've gotten some quality minutes from him, albeit in very short stints?
Dude, you have. And so now your 10th and 11th guy or 11th and 12th guy could be Lamb or Moody, and you play them based on the matchups.
Yeah.
You play them based on the matchups. If somebody doesn't have it, you play them. If Jermichael Green doesn't happen, okay, maybe you go small. Mm. You have Anthony Lamb as your stretch four. You have Draymond Green at the five. All of a sudden, you look a lot deeper. But it's all contingent on whether or not Gary Payton II could return to form from last season. And if Wiggins comes back, and I'm looking at these standings, and I'm looking at the way Steph is playing, all of a sudden we can dream again about a market parade down Market Street. But right now, I don't think we can do that because we don't know about Andrew Wiggins.
Am I foolish to say, like, if Andrew Wiggins doesn't come back, can they weather the storm? And they're not going to get equal output, but can they get enough output from the combination of Kuminga, GP2, and whatever you can get from, you know,
some Michael Green, maybe.
Yeah, like can they do a combination of guys and offset? Like, I know it sounds foolish to say on the outside, but I feel like we're just scratching the surface with Kuminga.
Yeah, it'd be really tough because there's going to be ups and downs with Kuminga.
Yeah.
As good as he was last night.
He's not as consistent as Wiggins.
There's going to be, look, he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be games where he turns the ball over 3 or 4 times, takes some bad shots, and we're going to say, what the hell is going on here? The kid's too young. He's too inexperienced. That's the benefit you get with Andrew Wiggins. If he gets into foul trouble, you play Kuminga, he steps up, boom, you're all good. What if Kuminga doesn't have it and you don't have Wiggins that you haven't had in the last 17 games? Now, thankfully, Kuminga over the last 6 games has played really good basketball. I don't know what people are watching. For some reason,
he's been awesome.
Look,
you could make the argument he's been the second, third best Warrior in how many games in a row now?
Right. In the offseason, to me, Steph is obviously untouchable.
Yeah.
But Jonathan Kuminga, I'm not trading.
Yeah,
I'm not. That's one guy. You guys all would talk, not you, but a lot of people are talking about Wiggins or Poole or Draymond. I'm not trading Jonathan Kuminga whatsoever.
No, he looks awesome.
He has to be a Warrior for a very long time. The potential. And he's getting better by the rep. And what he could do offensively, you can't teach that. He's getting above the rim. He's shooting the 3-ball. He's got a mid-range jumper. And he's picking up 94 feet.
Against elite superstars.
Who, the best of the best.
Who has he faced in the last month?
Kawhi.
Kawhi.
Paul George. Luka Doncic. Who else have they played? Let me pull up the schedule.
Well, they had Drew Holiday in that game.
The Bucks game.
Yeah, the Bucks game, which Middleton, he guarded Middleton at times, not exclusively.
Damian Lillard,
good call. I forgot about that game.
Phoenix, you got to guard some dudes.
Yeah, well,
Booker, pick a choice. Pick. You know, they didn't guard anybody against Atlanta. New Orleans, he's guarding Brandon Ingram. Remember that? Brandon Ingram.
That's right.
Brandon Ingram.
That's right. They did not guard anyone against Atlanta.
Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Guarded him back on Friday, March 3rd. Go watch the game.
Brandon
Ingram was frustrated trying to go at Kuminga.
People are going to perceive this as a knock on Jordan Poole, and that's not what I'm trying to do. But if I'm betting on futures for this organization, boy, I feel like Kuminga's got the farthest to go, but he's also got, I feel, the highest potential if we're comparing moving forward,
right,
Jordan Poole and Kuminga. And that is not a knock on JP. I think that's more how highly I think of Kuminga.
Right.
Am I wrong? They do different things. Am I wrong?
But it feels like Kuminga will be able to do more on the basketball court because of the way he defends.
He's more of a two-way player. First or second team All-NBA type of player.
Yes.
Like, I really believe that.
Yeah,
maybe I'm being foolish.
Especially all defense.
Yeah, well, I think that's a separator.
All defense. I mean, like, that's this guy separator. May be in a conversation for DPOY at some point in his career. He's only 20 years old. And Steve Kerr saying, hey, go pick up Luka 94. Actually, they were like, Kuminga did that on his own.
I loved it. And then they picked his pocket right at half court. It was great.
So Poole does different things, but if you could let these two grow together, all of a sudden you're cooking with something. Let's go to Luke Man and Vallejo. Luke Man, what's happening? You're on the morning roster at 95.7 The Game.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call today. First thing I want to say, Mark Cuban need to shut up. It wasn't a two-point game. That was a five-point game with a boo-boo, Reggie Bullock, Chuck-a-Chuck 3 that all of a sudden counted. If it was a two-point game, we would have played defense on that last possession. So he need to throw all of that out. He just need to throw that in the trash can and his leaky arena.
I mean, I can pick six different moments in that game where there were horrific officiating that caused the discrepancy in the score. Agreed. Yep. Keep going.
Kuminga has just been what everyone thought he would be, but a lot sooner. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the way he's been defending the last couple of games, he's learning. The way he didn't foul Luka on these step-back threes, the way he put his arms down and just kind of went by him, that still distracted his shot. And these things that he's learning game after game has just been everything we needed, including with the absence of Andrew Wiggins. Like, if anything, this might have been the best thing for Kuminga. And whenever Wiggins comes back, I think he's still going to maintain this level of play, and it's only going to be scarier for all of our opponents because, man, we coming for our crown again. We coming for it. We ready.
You know what? That's a good call. Good call, Luke, man. Very good call. Since the All-Star break, Kuminga's played in 13 games. Now, of course, he missed the 4 games with the ankle sprain. He bounced back quickly from that. Remember, he suffered the ankle sprain in pregame warm-ups against the Memphis Grizzlies. 13 games for Jonathan Kuminga since the All-Star break. 56.5% from the floor he's shooting. 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10.5 shots. 56.5% for a perimeter player is pretty damn good. 44% from the three-point line. Now, it's not a huge sample size because he's only attempting, since the All-Star break, 2.5 threes per game. The shot discernment, knowing when to shoot the three. And now the form looks good. Form looks great. But he's not going crazy over the three-point. Like, remember his form in the California Classic?
Yeah, it was bad.
Considering where it is now.
Erratic is an understatement.
Yeah. But now look at his form.
Yeah.
You tell me that's a guy who doesn't work hard in the gym?
Yeah, no, that's absurd.
All right, that was an absurd report.
Wait until he starts to get a little more BOD, benefit of the doubt with the whistle.
I don't know who gave Stephen A. that material to run with, but whatever. 15 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists in the defense.
You know, and this guy,
and it's in only 25 minutes a game.
I want to take a step back, and I want to push back on this notion. Everyone lost their minds on the two timeline thing. And I really have always, I'm like shaking my head, like, I'm B, just for a second here. At the beginning of the year, you and I had this conversation about the young players. And I believe we came to consensus, really, if one of them becomes what you think that they can become and get close to their potential, then it was a success.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yep. How many teams around the league suck year after year after year, and they're drafting high, and they just need one of those guys to really pop, right?
Right, right.
I mean, really, it's all you need. And this whole, like, two timeline thing, name me, like, I've always said this, and I don't understand this. Name me a company in America that doesn't have people at the top of their craft, right, and some young people that they're trying to groom,
right,
into positions of prominence within a company.
Yep.
Every sports team, every business, every entity out there is trying to develop someone or a couple of people into prominent positions within the company. So, like, this whole, like, oh my God, how could the Warriors have thought that some young players, you need old guys? Well, you see with some of these old guys, like, they're hit and miss too. Like, JMG was very missed at the beginning of the year, and he's been hit as of late, okay? So I'm looking at the young guys, and I just think all of the rhetoric is ridiculous, because I do believe there is a variety of people that have tolerance for veteran mistakes and but zero tolerance
for youngsters,
for rookie mistakes, yeah. And I think those people are morons.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody's, I'm hearing, like, you know, Kuminga needs to rebound more. I would like to see him grab a few more rebounds,
no doubt. Yeah.
However, watch the game.
I wanted Clay to rebound for 10 years, and now he's starting to rebound.
But Kuminga grabbed 8 rebounds the other day. Why? Because he wasn't guarding dudes strictly on the perimeter.
With his back to the rim.
Luka put up 10 three-point attempts yesterday. He was 2 of 10 from the three-point line.
Yes.
Because Kuminga wasn't fouling and falling into him. Kuminga only picked up, what did he end up with? He ended up with 3 fouls yesterday, but he didn't have those boneheaded fouls. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Where he just jumps, he's contesting everything, yes, yes, and he's reckless. I thought he played a very balanced game. Let's go to Vincent Santos.
He doesn't fall for the pump face.
No, he doesn't.
Even
last year, there's a clip against LeBron James on a Saturday night. Austin Reeves actually played well that night at Chase Center. But LeBron James, into the first half, he's in the paint, and he's pump faking, and Kuminga stayed down, didn't go for it, turnover, ball goes the other way. LeBron was frustrated. Willie and I looked at each other. It's like, this guy can play. He's a rookie.
Well,
and that's LeBron James in his 19th season at the time. Now it's 20 years. Not going for a pump fake because possibly one of the greatest players of all time.
And you know the book of Barnett, leapers like to leap.
Leapers like to leap.
Especially the young ones.
Yep, no doubt. Let's go to Vince in San Jose. Vince, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What a fun game last night.
So much fun.
I just wanted to rip into Cuba. It was an absolute blast to watch that game last night. You know, even Cuban, I just want to rip into him a little bit because, you know, I'm looking at all these Twitter reposts by Cuban saying, well, I'm going to protest the loss. And, hey, Cuban, you had 6 or 7 egregious calls go your way last night. You had Luka. You had baby boy Luka. Oh, look at little baby boy Luka, right? He's doing his money sign. That's 2 technicals right there. He did that twice. Anytime you do a money sign like that, That's a technical each time. He did it twice. He should have been tossed out of the game. You know, and again, maybe it's a Texas thing. Maybe it's a lack of intelligence. But it's like, what are you guys complaining about? Truly.
I totally agree.
It is. And you know what? Luke Mann and Vallejo said the leaky roof. I forgot all about that. Last year, the Western Conference Finals.
He threw that
in there. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
I forgot about that.
The leaky roof out there. Look it, man.
They missed like 10 free throws too, didn't they?
Well, Luka missed four himself. They were 20 and 28. So they were only a plus five at the free throw line when it was all said and done. Warriors got to the free throw line 18 times, made 15 of their attempts. But you look at the threes, they actually shot 43%, 42.5% from the three-point line, 17 of 40. But I thought the Warriors made it tough on the Dallas Mavericks. They turned them over a little bit in the second half, and the Warriors kept their turnovers down. That was the key. Third quarter, yes, they commit five or six. First quarter, they commit six. Fourth quarter, they commit one. So the second and fourth quarter, one turnover. First and third quarter, 12 turnovers. Finished with 13. That's actually good for the Golden State Warriors.
And they didn't give up 30 in the first quarter.
Didn't give up. Well, actually, they gave up 30 in every quarter.
Oh, I thought they didn't give up 30 in the first quarter.
33 first quarter, 30
second. For some reason in my mind, it was 29.
Calls they missed that shouldn't have been 33.
Again, the referees are all-time worst. I've gotten over the referees. I just go into the game assuming that they're going to be terrible, and you have to play through it. I'm sure Steve Kerr is saying that. I remember my coaches growing up. My coaches growing up.
You didn't think that was going to be a foul? He misses the layup, and I was waiting for the whistle. I was waiting for the whistle because they love to like play the results.
These guys are bozos, man. Sean Wright, Michael Smith, Andy Nagy. These guys are all bozos in the referee shirts. They're bozos. They're clowns. Let me just say what it is. I don't care if
anybody puts it back on that. What do you think the hit rate is on their calls?
40%?
I
get it's a difficult job. I would never sign up for it.
It's not difficult.
But Coach Keeve, shout out to Dave McKeeve. Used to coach me at Washington High School, and he used to always tell us, man, referees going to make bad calls.
Yeah,
it's not up to the refs, though. You got to make plays.
Yes, agreed.
At the end of the day, you control the game.
Yeah, you got to play through it.
Play through it. And so that's what the Warriors did last night. They played through the lack of foul calls.
But here's where I'll push back a little on that, because I hear that a lot, I preach that a lot as a coach. But like Draymond Green gets a third foul on a phantom, passion crash, which is what they call it, where you pass and then fly into someone. But he didn't touch anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets a third foul that puts the Warriors in the bonus, okay? Meaning Dallas is going to shoot free throws.
Right.
All right? So then Luka goes down, and then he gets to shoot free throws. Then on the next possession, there's a loose ball, and JP beats him, bats the ball in. Two players crashing, going for the ball. It's a no call by everybody's book. They call a foul on JP, and now you get two extra free throws.
Yeah.
Right? And then later on in the game, there's the sequence with Anthony Lamb. He clears a rebound, starts to dribble, gets crashed into by
no
Green.
Call. No call.
No call. And then it leads to a three-pointer eventually.
They've done this all season long.
No, I know, but like that's the problem that I have with the official. There are sequences of plays that you can go in either direction. There's just too many sequences of plays.
It's been happening
that's
all
year.
That's
my biggest issue.
They're all-time bad. Let's just face it. They're all-time bad.
Agreed.
And they're going to call somebody an important playoff game. You better believe it. The playoffs are coming, and it's only going to get worse. Mark Davis is running around. What game was I watching yesterday? Mark Davis. The Sacramento game. Jason Tatum got clobbered in the head. Clobbered. I think it was Kessler Edwards or Walker Kessler, whatever. Not Walker Kessler. He's in Utah, but Sacramento. Anyway, just clobbers Jason Tatum over there. I say, damn, I got him off the bench. I say, wow, no call. And Tatum's like, hey, Mark Davis, come on, man.
Monte.
And like, Mark, and I watched him in the Sacramento game just blow three straight bogus calls against the Sacramento Kings in they roll. This is what these guys do.
The best dunk of the entire playoffs last year.
Mark Davis.
We were robbed of it because Luka, flopped, and the referee ruined the moment.
No, because Mark Davis ruined the moment.
And then
the
you
referee.
Had to challenge it.
Mark Davis ruined the moment. Scott Foster ruins moment. D'Angelo Russell yesterday at Suns games. Hey, y'all, Scott Foster's reffing. Scott Foster. That's Scott Foster, number one, should not be refereeing.
Well,
after the Donahue doc,
thank you.
That's your problem there.
I can't look at him. I don't want to see him on the floor.
Did you see the way he kicked out Scottie Barnes?
And this is the only thing.
Scottie Barnes, did you see the way he kicked him out in Denver?
Yeah,
and he stared him down when he walked down the tunnel and still was talking?
Bonte, the people that defend the referees the most refuse to watch the doc that exposes them the most.
Well, that exposes those people who love the referees.
Bury your head in the sand some more, or you could just acknowledge the reality of where the league's at.
All right, today's injury report is good news for the San Francisco Giants and their fans. I guess you guys don't consider me a fan. I'm a Giants fan.
Anyway, can't tell you.
After missing a week due to left knee discomfort, Giants shortstop Brandon Crawford expressed optimism that he'll be ready for opening day next Thursday at Yankee Stadium. He was able to suit up yesterday in their 4-0 win over the Texas Rangers. He looked fresh, went 1-for-1 with the walk and helped turn a pair of double plays. Beat Craw. We'll be in that lineup. Let's go. Injury Report brought to you by Boxer Gers and Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game? Sponsored by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. The one and only Anthony Slater. here on a roast.